This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Airbnb.
I just got invited to the first wedding of the summer.
Yeah.
Happens to be a gay wedding.
Nice.
Very excited to attend.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay. Second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Wednesday, July 31st, and this is
T-Boy Tuesday.
This is the best one yet.
It's actually T-Boy Wednesday.
Technically, yesterday was Tuesday. This one's a lot better than what we whipped
up
yesterday.
We got three awesome stories for you.
This is a beautiful mix. By the way, a lot of earnings going on. We had to weed through the weeds on this.
Apple was one of them.
Big.
It's the third biggest, most valuable company in the world, and it announced earnings. It's no longer an iPhone company.
No, they're replacing lost iPhone sales with
underwhelming bets.
It's quite a business plan. It's interesting.
Our second story, Under Armour stock plummeted by 14% yesterday because it's pretty much rejected the athleisure trend.
It's done a straight up stiff arm over here. Someone needs to rebrand this thing if it's going to protect the
house.
Someone
needs to rebrand this house. Third and final story, Procter & Gamble shares rose by 4%, but its Gillette shave business is struggling because of beards.
Beards are a problem. By the way, we learned one key lesson from here.
Content may be king,
but pricing is the princess. Now, before we jump into that, Jack, are you more of like a chunky avocado guy, a thinly sliced avocado guy?
I thinly slice, and you know what? Fun fact, use a butter knife because it's sharp enough and it won't cut you.
The things you know. You throw a little sea salt on off that. Jack slices the avocado so thin, you don't even see them.
Today is National Avocado.
You got to keep that in mind.
Guacamole, it's not extra.
Apparently not. And we're so used to hearing
Chipotle,
that
Chipotle, Kubota, probably a bunch of other Mexican restaurants.
They're all giving it away as far as we understand.
Now, another fun fact. 3 out of 4 avocados we eat.
Like in the last 24 hours?
In these states, they come from Mexico.
True. And the prices have been surging because, you know, it's drier than ever in
Mexico. Yeah, poor weather down south. Also, trade war drama has come.
So prices for avocados have like almost doubled in the last year.
Long story short, take advantage.
We're trying to help people out here.
You got
to
get this.
It's a good fat, right?
And if you don't know what to do with the pit, if you plant that thing in soil, give it some sun, give it some water, it'll grow into a tree.
A little overwhelmed by all these life hacks.
You can have your own National Avocado Day.
Boom, save yourself $16 a day. Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get some legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, we're going big with this one. Apple stock jumped 4%, but it's no longer like an iPhone company.
Yeah, it's like relationship status with the world has changed.
Serious.
The magic
noticing.
Number here is 50%. And for the first time since 2012, Apple announced an earnings report where iPhone represented less than half of sales.
Now, there was a time back in the day, back when Apple's earnings was like a huge deal.
It's when we first like started doing market snacks.
People stopped what they were doing on the streets. TVs would turn off.
Phones would buzz.
Apple earnings reports are big. This is like back when Avicii was a thing.
Tim Tebow was playing sports.
Tebow was unbelievable.
Do you remember jeggings?
I don't.
That was a thing then.
Uggs were just coming on.
Had a Sony laptop.
Sony was making laptops.
Who has laptops like that?
Actually, James Bond had that.
Well, that was back in the day. This is now. And Apple today is basically an ATM machine cranking out huge profits.
Look, it's lost some of its mojo for sure. True. And it's not like shaking the world, but it is making gigantic profits and it's paying those out to investors as dividends every quarter.
A very mature thing to do. They didn't do it a few years ago, and they recently started a few years
ago. But last quarter, sales barely inched up.
Ooh, just a little.
Profits inched down.
Down.
This doesn't look like Apple.
So we jumped into this earnings report snack style, and Jack loves a good like three-part breakdown here. He's got it up on the board. He's
highly recommend.
It's like he has three hands.
So I broke this down into weak, strong, and new.
I like it. Tell me what was weak about the Apple earnings.
iPhone sales were weak. Sales overall fell by 12%.
True. Prices are really up on iPhones.
Yeah, they're like over $1,000.
Am I going to buy a ticket on SpaceX, or am I going to get an iPhone?
So that's good for sales, but the number sold is way down because people are hanging on to them longer.
Okay, so what was strong about the Apple
earnings
report?
Everything else. We're talking sales outside of the iPhone rose by 17%.
We're talking about Macs, iPads, services, wearables. All that's booming, right?
That's all of the other categories besides iPhone.
Anti-iPhone.
They're all doing well.
Jack, what was the new thing?
This was kind of a preview.
Kind of cool, actually.
The credit card.
True.
With Goldman Sachs.
Nice combo.
It comes out in August. And guess what? It's not metal the other cards.
This thing is titanium.
This thing's titanium. You could cut an avocado with this thing.
You should cut an avocado with
this
thing. Now,
if you don't want a physical card, if you want to like be that cool guy,
we get it.
You can also have it digital on your phone.
Early adopter.
A privacy aspect of the digital only Apple Goldman Sachs credit card.
True.
It changes numbers like with every swipe.
Interesting, because that means Goldman can't track exactly what you're shopping
at. So that's an aggressively like pro-privacy feature.
And we all have that one friend who's going to say they gave up their wallet 10 years ago for this kind of thing. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Apple?
Tech companies thrive on big bets, and Apple's big bets are underwhelming.
Get these gems from the earnings report. China sales fell 4%. European sales fell 2%. Sales in the Americas were up just 2%.
And iPhone sales fell. So look, Apple needs some growth, like badly.
Where is it?
What its bets are? Arcade, which is its gaming subscription, I've never heard of people talking about.
And then that titanium card we just mentioned, which you're probably going to use for avocado
and then
slicing.
TV Plus, do we really need another paid video subscription?
And what about HomePods? We still haven't seen one. It's like an elusive elf.
No, Apple does not look like its 2012 booming self.
For our second story, Jack, put on your tight spandex over there. Under Armour just plummeted 14% because it's basically lost the athleisure
wars. Nick, you know I'm one step ahead of you right now.
Jack's
spandex.
A big fan of the medium there.
All right, let's talk about Baltimore, the other city by the bay.
Home of wall ball. You got a lot of lacrosse players working on their left hands right there.
Love those sound effects. Now, let's pivot back to Under Armour, which is headquartered in Baltimore.
Yes.
It is like a team that keeps losing in its home stadium.
Yeah, we looked at this earnings report and also a research report on it. Basically, Under Armour's market share of like activewear in the U.S., it dropped from 6.4% down to 5.6%.
That is a rough statistic. And its market share of footwear sales in the U.S. also fell.
Now, the chief operating officer came out in the earnings and dropped this inspiring quote on us.
Rather uninspiring. This is not worthy of Friday Night Lights.
Quote, unquote, a bit of a mixed bag for us, you know, with challenges to work through. And pockets of strength to build on.
Pockets of strength.
Sorry, coach. I'm going to stay in the locker room and quit and join the Frisbee team after
also,
this.
Also, Under Armour doesn't have pockets.
Not too much. So you're wondering what's going wrong with Under Armour?
It's easy.
Straight up.
Too much ath, not enough leisure.
The current brand is completely about dudes working out really aggressively.
We've been saying this for a couple quarters.
Yes.
I actually want to quickly give Under Armour some credit here.
Go ahead, run with
it. They were the first sports brand I remember that was aggressively marketing towards like women athletes as being fierce and like strong as opposed to like soft and delicate.
And they did do that initiative. However, the research is showing that their brand equity among women is like barely budged up.
They are a long way behind Nike, Lululemon, and some other brands. Look at what those other athleisure brands are doing right now.
They're emphasizing the leisure. Lulu, experiential stores, shampoos, 25,000 square foot with like a meditation studio.
You got Nike making a very public stand on social issues.
You got Adidas partnering with like Beyonce and Kanye design clothes, shoes, and just get that out there.
And Puma is seriously in the fashion department. Selena Gomez, Rihanna, they used to have Kylie Jenner.
Puma's basically become a concert groupie.
This is all leisure we're talking about, but Under Armour is still so ass.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Under Armour.
Under Armour needs to rebrand.
Kevin Plank, the founder and CEO of Under Armour, said this. He said the brand needs to be, quote unquote, louder.
I couldn't disagree more. Under Armour, as a guy who played high school and college athletics,
you're talking
Under Armour's loud.
A little too loud.
It's really loud.
We get it. Your house is under attack.
Now, the brand needs to be smarter, not louder.
Right. That's less sweat, more sweet.
Less lifting, more just living.
Less protect this house, more wear the clothes around the house.
Under Armour, rebrand.
This is Steph Curry from the future. Please.
Rebrand. This is Jack, and I own stock in Lululemon.
For our third and final story, Procter & Gamble, aka P&G, just rose 4%, despite like a major shave situation.
Now, I want to follow the headquarters city trend.
I like how we're going with this.
Cincinnati-based. Procter & Gamble is snuggling nice and close to the Ohio River.
If you've got a sink, a bathroom, or a closet, P&G products are probably like hiding in there.
I gotta say, I take offense to this.
Jack disagreed with me.
P&G is highly, highly fancy. Nick's like telling his doorman to shuffle over to Whole Foods and get him Tide.
All I need in this life is a Febreze and a Tide stick pen.
Tide's like $100 per pint.
The other things they got in this P&G family are Tide, Pampers, Bounty, Charmin. What else they got?
Well, Bounty, which apparently can absorb an entire barrel of wine.
Remember their commercials? They go to an oil spill, boom, the thing's covered in like a day.
So Tampax, Febreze, like a whole bunch of home products.
Herbal Essence.
That you probably like lock the cabinet for so your kids can't get in.
Your mom would want us to say Herbal Essence. Now, interesting thing we learned covering PG&E. They just lost $5.4 billion last quarter, which is a big number.
The reason for that loss goes way back to 2005.
Take me.
It acquired Gillette, the best a man can get, based out of Boston, Massachusetts, for $57 billion. Nick?
That is huge.
That's almost four lifts. That's a big number.
Rounding up there a little bit.
So they acquired Gillette and Venus razor blades.
But last quarter, the accountants came in and said, you know what? We've got to revalue this business. So they revalued Gillette down by $8 billion.
Right. So that affected the company's balance sheet, but it also affected profits for last quarter. It's just a paper loss, really, what happened. But technically,
the rest of the business is just doing its thing.
It's doing really solid.
Now, before we get into the rest of the business, we were very curious about this why Gillette got devalued razor trend situation.
Yes. The company blamed lower shaving frequency.
Fact. You just walk around, get on the L train if you're in New York, get to Brooklyn, walk around Williamsburg. You're going to see a lot of beards.
Not just Brooklyn. Get on any train.
Yep.
Get on my train. I got a beard right now. And I'm still shaving. I only shave beneath and above the fold.
It aims for like the 80-degree angle
but
over
since,
there.
You know, I'm still shaving, but I don't need the Nimbus 2001 that Gillette is trying to show me.
Shavius, Razius, Facius.
So in response to people just wanting a more basic razor, you got Dollar Shave Club.
Which, now owned by Unilever.
Yep, and you got Harry Shave Club.
Now owned by Schick owner Edgewell Personal Care.
So the trend is that fancy and ridiculously sophisticated razors that Gillette sells.
Mach 42.
Those are out and simpler is in.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies at P&G and why did the stock jump 4% despite everything we just said?
Because pricing is power.
Now, would you rather walk through walls, be able to fly, or raise prices?
Raise prices. Final answer.
Every MBA professor listening to this is like freaking out right now.
Procter & Gamble has pricing power.
They've been slowly raising prices for years.
And guess what? Consumers keep buying.
Get this. Sales for P&G are up 7%, which is their biggest jump since 2008.
Half of those gains came from increasing prices.
That's it.
The other half came from just people buying more of those things. That's a really nice combination.
So the economy is doing well. You're probably getting yourself, treat yourself to some top shelf laundry detergent.
Top shelf laundry detergent.
On the top shelf, literally. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
iPhone sales fell below 50% for Apple for the first time since 2012.
And its big bets these days are non-device services.
Under Armour sales fell in North America again as it's losing to athleisure rivals.
Under Armour, less wicking, more loving.
Third and final story, Procter & Gamble is flexing its pricing power muscle, except in razor blades.
And it's lowering razor blade prices. Now, time for our snack fact of the day, sent in by a fantastic snacker, Evan Moinvaziri.
He's based in Philly.
Not just based in Philly, based in Fishtown, Philadelphia.
I like that a lot.
Now, I got four words for you, by the way, Evan. Fishtown's incredible. Pulled pork feta sal.
Feta sal is a great barbecue.
You know what I mean.
German word, it means fat female pig.
And that's what they serve
the more you know. That's not the fact of the day.
No. We got a double for everyone.
The Bank of New York Mellon was founded in 1784 by Alexander Hamilton.
Now, this was the first company to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange, right nearby where Alex is buried.
He's buried at Trinity Church in Manhattan.
It all comes full circle. It's like a circle of life kind of thing.
Although, when it was listed on NYSE, it was just Bank of New York, not the Mellon. One other story that happened yesterday.
You got to know about
United
this.
Airlines has invested in Clear, the company you've probably seen moving faster than your TSA PreCheck.
And you probably have that one smug friend who again tells you, it's better than TSA PreCheck.
Hope your eyeball retinas are ready. Snackers, you've outdone yourself again.
You guys look great. We love being with you.
That's all we got for you today. Be back tomorrow.
I'm in. The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. Want to quickly tell you about the show Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.